Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for another episode of Just a Bit Outside with your hosts, Stark and Massaro.
Way back! Blue Jays win it! Touch of all, Joe! Brett Favre! Touchdown, Green Bay! Bless you, boys! What a game!
We are live! Welcome to Just a Bit Outside with Stark and Massaro. I am your host, Ian Starkman, and I am joined by my co-host, Mike Massaro. On today's Christmas break show, we are going to play Pick'em and look back on the sports world for 2021, as well as give our predictions for 2022. But make sure to stick around to the end when we have a special announcement. But first, Mike, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Stark, and Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Hope everyone had a good Christmas, is enjoying the holidays and the downtime. And for some of us who are more ambitious, building a backyard rink. Yep. Stark, how's it going?
Oh, it's so I always build a backyard rink. I've been doing it maybe 3 or 4 years now for my boys. And actually last year turned out great with kind of hockey all shutting down. They at least had a place to skate. But I was always doing it in like the corner side of my house. I have this smoothed out pavement area. But I decided to get a little bit more ambitious this year and build it the full backyard length. So it's about 46 feet by 20, 25, something like that. So it's a big tarp and everything. My brother-in-law, thank God, he's a construction guy. He knows what he's doing, a real man's man. He was able to build the outline of it. All I had to do was lay the tarp down, put the water. The problem is here in Canada, for people that don't live here and they think we live in igloos, we don't get the cold weather like we used to, specifically here in the Toronto area. So really, you need about 4 or 5 days of -5 weather full all day long in order for a rink to freeze. But we just don't get that until maybe January, maybe even February.
February. Yeah.
But I was hoping to have the rink up and running for the holiday season and everything. So I had it laid out and had the tarp out and started to fill it. And I was just going to fill it layer by layer, get a good chunk going. So I had a kind of lower layer going and then woke up the next day and the wind was just blowing and the tarp was starting to blow up on the sides. And then the water was starting to seep out and I was running out there in my pajamas, pulling the thing around, just trying to keep the ends nice and tight so the water would stay in. And now it's an all day thing. I mean, I got the water going right now. I keep jumping out and making sure it's tight on the edges so that it smooths out and the water's all over. Just a nightmare compared to the nice, easy little rink I used to build.
It reminds me of tarping greens at the golf course. You got to block, you know, the wind and the snow. So I get how difficult it is, but I attempted it once.
Right.
I think it was after college. My brother, I guess, would have still been in high school. He was playing hockey at that point. So I attempted it and really no massive construction. I just tried to flatten out the snow in the backyard and keep watering it at night when it was
right
real
on the
cold.
Snow, no tarp?
Yeah, no. I had no Coles notes or anything. I just kind of went for it. And I mean, look, after a few days and cold temperatures, there was ice for sure. It wasn't very even, but my brother was able to skate around on it in the backyard. I did not play hockey, so I put my curling shoes on. Smart. Nice piece of Teflon, no pebbled ice. I slid once, went down hard. I was like, I'm never doing this again. This is one of the stupidest things I've done for myself anyway. But my brother got to skate around for a couple of weeks, so I guess it wasn't all lost.
It's so worth it when the boys are actually out there skating and playing and out of your hair inside and gives them something to do over the break. But yeah, it is a hell of a chore, but I do enjoy going out there late at night after they skated, shoveling, you know, listening to a podcast, maybe just a bit outside, and then just hosing it down and doing the whole Zamboni type of thing that I can do to smooth it out, waking up the next morning and seeing it nice and crisp. It is an accomplishment of, you know, something you feel real proud about, but let's hope it works out here over the next couple of weeks.
Well, eventually I'm sure you'll add boards and lights and rink boards, maybe even make it a whole thing. Some of these elaborate setups people have are pretty impressive, if the weather cooperates.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I know you are a big Christmas guy. Got to see the Christmas lights at your house this week with a little drive-by with the boys. You're really into it. So you're going to be our Christmas expert today. And I asked you prior to the show to put a little list together so we can go through Mike Mazzaro's Christmas list. First, I want to start with your top five Christmas songs. And if you can run them down, five down to one, I'd love to know your thoughts on the best Christmas songs out there.
Probably two of the toughest lists I've ever had to make, Stark. So there's so many good considerations. But here we go. The top five for me. Christmas songs. I tend to skew older school. Michael Bublé, John Legend, their stuff's great in the current genre, but I go with what typically our parents are listening to. So number five.
Hold on. Before you get into five, are you going to sing these for us? Are you going
to No. I don't want to ruin them for people. Maybe they'll go listen to these versions and agree or disagree, and I'm not going to ruin the experience by trying myself.
If I remember correctly, weren't you in the high school Christmas choir? Was that you?
No, that wasn't me.
Sorry, mixing you up with someone.
Good guess, but no.
Okay, go ahead. Start us off with the number five Christmas song.
Number five, Step Into Christmas by Sir Elton John.
Good one.
Number four, Let It Snow, Dean Martin.
And you're very specific about who's singing the song, because some people sing it a little bit different. You need the right person singing it.
These are the versions I've listened to all my life. Number three, Winter Wonderland, Bing Crosby.
Love that one. All year round, really, when you're just thinking about the winter and thinking about Christmas.
Or trying to build a rink in your backyard. Number two, Silver Bells, Perry Como.
Wow.
I bet you don't even know who he is, but that's
nope,
okay.
Nope.
And number one, Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives. That's my top five.
Wow. And I feel like those are just playing on loop around your house around the holidays while you're walking around with your eggnog.
That's right. That's right. Becker's eggnog, that is.
That's right. I can't believe you didn't mention the Chipmunks, you know, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. That's a classic.
Yeah, I mean, I think my playlist on iTunes, Apple Music, whatever it is, I got about 60 songs. So, I mean, these five could change regularly, but these are the, you know, two or three of them are at least in there regularly.
The one that hits me is the John Lennon, So This Is Christmas. Oh, hits you right in the heart when you hear it. But then I like all the Christmas music from, and we're going to get to movies here, from Home Alone, like all those Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, all those ones, great songs as well.
Brenda Lee, love
them. Yep, very good. So let's jump into that.
Chuck Berry, Run, Run, Rudolph.
Look at you. See, we now could you could probably do a top 25 list, but maybe that's your next career is being a DJ, DJ.
DJ for Christmas music.
Now give me your top five Christmas movies. And this one is debated all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What's the best ones? I mean, I know for me around the holidays, I've been flicking around trying to find what Christmas movie I'm going to watch each night. So tell me what your top five is.
Okay. So number five, the older version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Gotcha. Love it.
It's like a, I don't know if it's even cartoon or like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They're like little characters.
Yeah, like 60s, 70s version. Number four, the original Grinch, not the Jim Carrey version, like the original cartoon.
Yep, gotcha. Grinch. Good one.
Number three, The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Love that one. Yep.
Muppets are great. Number two, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Original.
that scene when he gets the weenie whistle and his wife gets the mystery date at the end after they stop believing. Powerful stuff, man. Powerful scene. Powerful scene. And number one, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Great one. Love it as well. I'm absolutely shocked by this list, Mike. I know there's people, they're driving 3 hours to their in-laws right now for the Christmas holidays and they're listening to this, or they're just zipping around to get out of the house and walking the dog listening to this, and they're saying, Mike, you didn't say Elf. You didn't say Home Alone 1. You didn't say Home Alone Back in New York. You're missing some classics.
For me, I actually watched Elf the other night and it's good. I don't love it. And Home Alone, I think that's on everybody's list. I like it. It's not my top five. My top five.
I get you. I'm going to give you what one of my favorite Christmas movies / romantic comedy / movies of all time. You're going to be surprised by this. I can't believe I'm announcing this out in public right now. I'm going to get trolled all over the internet. Serendipity. Love it. Love it.
What's that one?
Great one. John Cusack meets a girl. I can't remember her name. They're in New York City. Okay. They end up bumping into each other because they both went to grab a glove at the mall to buy. Mm. And they start talking. They have lunch. They have drinks. They spend the whole day together and realize, oh my God, we're in love. But
is that Sandra Bullock?
Nope. Nope.
Okay, I'm thinking name slipping
my mind. We're gonna have to look it up later. They spend the whole day together, but then they realize, you know, I think she has a relationship, he has a relationship. She writes her phone number down in a book.
Okay.
Okay. And says, if you ever find this book with my number in it, you can give me a call. It's meant to be and will be. So the rest of his life, he goes around into random bookstores, finds the book, opens it up to see if it's the copy that she wrote her number in. Never happens. Then, of course, as serendipity does, he's about to get married and he says, I need to go find this girl. I need to go find this girl. Great movie. Go check it out. Holiday movie as well.
I just did a quick Google there. It's Kate Beckinsale.
Thank you. Kate Beckinsale. Love it. Love it.
Oh, Eugene Levy's in that. One of the great Canadian actors.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen, today's show, we're going to go into a look back at 2021. We got some sports predictions for 2022. And as mentioned, we got an announcement at the end of the show as well. So let's go for a quick, short little break, and then we'll look back on 2021 and the highlights in the sports world. So stick around.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the end of the year, and we all like to reflect back on the year and decide, did we do it right? Did I put too much weight on? But let's stick to looking back on the sports world with a little fun game of pick 'em. And we're going to start it off with number one for you, Mike. I'll let you lead us off on each one. I'm looking for your thoughts on who the best champion of 2021 was. Looking at the four major sports, you had the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl, and the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship. Who is your champion of 2021?
For me, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Sweeping the Miami Heat in the first round, play Brooklyn in the second round, go down 2-0 and 3-2, win in overtime in game seven. And I think, you know, previous shows during the NBA playoffs, we were talking about how we felt whoever won that series probably stood a good chance at winning it. And that's exactly what happened. Then they go to the East Final, beat the Hawks in six games after going down 2-0. Giannis gets hurt in that series as well. Drew Holiday steps up. Chris Middleton steps up. They beat the Suns in six to win it all. I just think that that was such a great run. There was a lot of obstacles in their way going down series. Injury, obviously, to Giannis was a big factor, but they got the job done. And, you know, for me, it was the most impressive of the four major leagues.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick. For me, I went with the Atlanta Braves. First World Series win since 1995. They lose their most dynamic player before the All-Star break in Acuna Jr. But double A, Alex Anthopoulos, no problem. I'm going to go out the trade deadline. I'm going to make some smart moves. I'm going to get some good arms. I'm going to help out this team and make sure they're set up. Soler and Freddie Freeman just really stepped up as leaders come playoff time. And they got hot at the right time. And that's what you always say you need to do in sports. And they did it. They did it perfectly, sneaking their way right into the World Series, being the underdog all the way, finally meeting the Houston Astros, the team that was meant to win it without cheating. And this was going to be their year. And the Atlanta Braves took it right to them right away. And then finally winning the last game with a blowout 7-0 win. They showed that they were clearly the best team in baseball for that last 2 months, let's call it month and a half. And I think because of that, they were the best champion in 2021.
A lot of similarities. They both overcame big injuries and guys stepped up, and two good stories this year.
Exactly. Moving on to number two, who was the best MVP in 2021? You had the NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers, the NHL Hart Trophy winner Connor McDavid. In Major League Baseball, you had Shohei Ohtani and Bryce Harper winning their league respectively. And in the NBA, you had Jokic, the Joker. So, Mike, who is your MVP of 2021?
You might be shocked when I say this, but Aaron Rodgers. His third NFL MVP. Fast forward to this year, looks like a good possibility of going back to back and winning his fourth. But last season, 4,299 passing yards, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a QB rating of 121.5, and a completion percentage of 70.7, which is an incredibly high number. Packers went 13-3. They were the one seed, unfortunately fell to Tampa in the NFC Championship, but Rodgers dealt with a lot last year. Adams was out for a chunk of time, and you know, the offense kept rolling, highest scoring offense in the NFL, deservedly won MVP last season and could go back-to-back to 2021. So Aaron Rodgers is my pick.
Good one. I'm going to go, no surprise for me, I tell you to stay up every night and watch this guy. I'm going with Connor McDavid. It's the third time he led the NHL in scoring, only the second unanimous Hart Trophy winner in the 97-year history of it. The only other one was Wayne Gretzky back when he had 93 goals in one season and over 200 points. It's the second time that Connor has won this award, but it definitely won't be the last. He had a league-high 105 points in only 56 games due to the shortened season. That's a 1.88 points per game average, the highest points per game average since Mario Lemieux did it back in the late 90s. 21 more points than the second person in the league, which was his teammate Dreisaitl. He led the league in assists, power play points. Not to mention, he factored in on 57.4% of Edmonton's goals that season. He's only 24, and he's spectacular to watch. Clearly, I think the best MVP of 2021.
Probably a few more in his future as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, could be this year as well. So we'll see and look ahead a little bit later. Now, Mike, not looking at the four major North American sports, my question for you, question number three, what was the best non-major four-sport event in 2021?
For me, it was Italy winning Euro 2020 after missing the World Cup in 2018. They were on a very impressive streak going into the tournament, go 3-0 in the group stage without conceding a goal, which set the record for a clean sheet streak at 1,168 minutes, which beat their previous record that Italy set between 1972 and 1974. So very impressive. Through that, beat Austria, Belgium, Spain in penalties, England in penalties at Wembley Stadium to win the second European Championship in Italy's history. During that time, they set a new unbeaten record, 37 games, which ended in a loss to Spain in October. The previous record was 35 games held by both Brazil and Spain. So a record-setting performance for Italy and a big win, winning the European Championship, which obviously was a year later due to COVID in 2020. And just all around a very impressive tournament for Italy.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. But just quick little recap here. I want to look back through three questions. Your answers so far are Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Italy. Love to see you always stick with your heart, Mike. That's what makes you such a great guy.
Well, you know what? It's not my fault these teams won. You know,
it's a good year for you.
It was a good year for my fandom, I suppose.
For me, non-major four sport event, I was really trying to think about this, and I got to be honest, this happened really recently. I'm going with the F1 championship. Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton were tied going into the last race of the year in Abu Dhabi. Think about that. They were tied the last race. The last race. Any other sport, if there was a tie going into the last game of the regular season, or, you know, think about a game seven of a championship, it would be massive news. They have some controversy right at the start of the race, a little bit of bumping. Then the organizers allow Max to bunch up right beside Lewis for the final six laps, which was a lot of talk about whether that should have been allowed or not. Hamilton putting forth a protest. But of course, Max wins his first world championship and all the attention is on these two. And now they formed a real rivalry, which is going to be followed by millions and millions of people as F1 really starts to build up in North America, thanks to the reality show. And these are the stars that are really going to pull it to the next level in North America. I thought it was a great event. Number four, Mike, who was the best rookie in 2021?
For me, I am heading to the links, and I say Mr. Will Zalatoris, a 25-year-old who won the PGA Rookie of the Year for last season, winning the Arnold Palmer Award. Didn't actually have tour status going into the year. Collected 1,296 non-member FedEx Cup points, which earned him a full-time membership for the 2021-2022 season. Eight top 10s, made the cut in 21 out of 25 tournaments he played in, and was runner-up at the Masters in Augusta to Hideki Matsuyama, the only player in the field to shoot four rounds under par in his first appearance. 16 starts on the Korn Ferry Tour with 10 top 10s and a win. Was solid down the stretch in the playoff tournaments and everything, and just a very solid rookie season for Will Zalatoris.
Happy Gilmore's caddy.
Right. Yeah.
For me, I'm going to count this as a rookie. I'm going with Leila Annie Fernandez, the 19-year-old. She bursted onto the tennis scene this year with a historic run at the U.S. Open. She was unranked women's tennis player that made it all the way to the finals before losing to another unranked, Emma Raducanu, in one of the most talked about finals ever, as these two women were amazing just to even be in the finals from where they came from. And it was such a great match, and all of Canada was pulling for Fernandez. She's now number 26 in the world, and most would consider her the best Canadian tennis player. Sorry, Bianca, but there's going to be great things to come from this young woman in the future. And I like her odds of getting back to major championships. And as we always say, when it comes to tennis, if there's a Canadian in it, it's going to be massive here in this country. So I'm really pulling for her.
Yep, good call. I considered her as well.
Now, number five, what was your highlight of 2021 in the sports world? Looking for a specific highlight reel in your head.
Not so much a highlight reel, but just a collective. I think the return of fans to sports really was the highlight. For me, watching, you know, football is the sport I predominantly watch the most. And I know the networks kind of piped in crowd noise, so you didn't really notice it a whole lot watching games. And I mean, unless they did a shot of the stands, was it really apparent? But I think just the return of fans certainly made atmospheres that much better. So that would probably be the highlight for me.
Yeah, good one. That was good to see fans back. For me, I mean, I was going to say McDavid's goal when he went through the entire Rangers team, or even the Zegras goal from this month. But actually, I saw a couple of kids in the OHL do it in another game, so I think it's played out already. So I'll go with Alphonso Davies' breathtaking goal for Canada at the World Cup qualifying match. He reached the top speed of 37.1 kilometers per hour as he chased down the ball before it went out of bounds. Then he cut back to his left foot, placed the ball into the near corner for a pretty much unsavable goal. Not only amazing athleticism, but a massive goal for his country and their hopes of making it to the World Cup. Great highlight.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Number six, what was the best blooper of 2021 in the sports world?
I hope you're not going to hate me for this, but actually the one thing I've kind of laughed at in our script that you prepare for us, every week it says at the bottom our signature sign-off, and lose has been spelt loose since we started in June.
What a great catch.
And I've not said anything because, I mean, I know what you meant, but
it does. I'm just looking right now. It's the old just copy and paste got me.
Yeah. So that's something I've always, every week when we do our prep for the show, it's always loose. And I'm just, you know, I was like, I hope there's an opportunity to mention it at some point. And thankfully you have a good spirit about it. So that's probably my favorite.
Well done. That's a good one. Well, your blooper is a nice laugh. My blooper is more of a crying blooper, something okay. That's going to bring the mood down on this show and bring down everyone's thoughts. Because my blooper from 2021 is the Maple Leafs blowing a 3-1 lead to Montreal. Now, this isn't one specific blooper, but man, the Leafs were up 3-1, heading home for game 5, an OT loss on a bad turnover from Galchenyuk. Then game 6 in Montreal, OT again, this time a turnover from Dermott. And we all knew what was coming in game 7. So the blooper is they blew it. Because if they just win one of those games, they probably make it to the Stanley Cup. So that's my blooper for 2021.
Now, I mean, the tides have turned. Look where Montreal is right now and look where the Leafs are. So
yeah, lots of season
left. On the up and up.
Number 7, most shocking coach change in 2021.
For me, you know, the Paul Maurice one was pretty shocking, but I have to go with Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma and going to USC in college football. I think a lot of people had thought that Lincoln Riley's next step was going to be the NFL, you know, grooming consecutive Heisman winner at quarterback, number one picks. He had kind of, aside from winning a national championship, was really starting to kind of do it all in the college ranks, but leaves Oklahoma after 5 years, 55-10 record, 1-3 in the bowls, takes over a USC program that finished 4-8 last year. You know, he's got a massive contract, allegedly. They didn't release the information, but reading through the scuttlebutt, there's a lot of perks there for him. 38 years old and has an opportunity to build a very special program with the USC Trojans. So Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma, who seemed to be on the verge of heading to the SEC for USC, for me was the biggest one.
Yeah, quarterback whisperer. I stayed with college football as well, Mike. I went with Brian Kelly stepping away from Notre Dame to go to LSU with his new Southern accent. I mean, I think he just became the winningest coach in Notre Dame football history. He's also the first football coach in Notre Dame history to leave on his own and not be fired. This used to be the football powerhouse. I mean, Rudy went there. Come on. Everyone wants to go there. Now coaches are leaving for LSU. Clearly, this was a move because he knows he can skirt the rules just a little bit more in LSU. He'll be in the SEC, which is a powerhouse conference. And I have said this before, but Notre Dame needs to be in a specific conference in order to be legit. I think it's time for them to find one. And I think Brian Kelly saw the writing on the wall that he's never going to win at Notre Dame. So he needed to move on.
Yeah, because I think basketball, they play in the ACC. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Number eight. This year we saw the 2020 Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics played in 2021. So my question for you is, what was the best moment from this year's Olympics?
The women's national soccer team winning gold medal, you know, in the group stage, tied Japan and Great Britain, beat Chile to advance. Quarterfinals, they knock off Brazil in penalties. The semifinal game against the U.S., the U.S. four-time World Cup winners, four-time gold medalists at the Olympics. On my birthday, Canada beats them 1-0. That was a great game. You know, enjoyed watching that. And then to go to the finals, 1-1. Beat Sweden 3-2 on PKs. Like I said, I think at the time during, you know, the show we did talking about it, I was at work and I had the phone out and, you know, probably dented my data plan watching the last few minutes in the shootout, but well worth it. You know, Jesse Fleming with some key penalty against US and Sweden. Stephanie Labbe, the goalkeeper, pretty much saving everything. And Julia Grosso hitting the winner against Sweden. Grosso now is playing for the Juventus women's team, which is another one of my teams I follow. So, you know, I think it was a great story. Christine Sinclair gets her gold medal and just big for women's soccer and for Canadian soccer. It was a great story. And for me, that was probably the highlight of the Olympics.
Yeah. So Mike and I obviously aren't talking beforehand on what we're picking. And this is our first one we agree on. It's got to be the women's soccer team winning gold. It was the biggest event of these Olympics and our country was playing in it. I don't think they were the favorites, but Canada was a top team going in. And it was still a surprise to see them pull it off, mainly because we had not seen it before in soccer in this country, men or women. We don't usually win national events. So this was massive for all of us, a proud moment for Canadians and in particular women athletes in Canada as they stole the show at this Olympics. So hats off to those women. They did a great job in pulling it off. Now, Mike, with the four majors being played kind of in their regular times this year in the PGA versus 2020, my question for you was, what was the best golf major in 2021?
For me, my favorite every year is the Masters and nothing will ever top that. But I think in this case, the biggest one for me was Jon Rahm winning the US Open, mainly because I called it. I picked him to win the US Open and he did. So I look like I know what I'm talking about. But in all honesty, 26-year-old Jon Rahm wins his first major, held off Louis Oosthuizen, 67 final round he shoots to win and beat Louis by one. The best player in the world, number one ranking, finally got his major, especially after what he was dealing with weeks earlier with COVID. It was just a good story, a deserving champion, and I think a guy who's probably going to win a few more majors over the next couple years.
Yeah. For me, I'm going Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island by 2 strokes. Over Brooks Koepka to become the oldest major winner at the age of 50. With no Tiger, all eyes in the majors were on the young guns and who was going to add to their trophy case and who was going to step up and be the next one in golf. But by Saturday, it was old Phil who pulled away hitting bombs and hellacious seeds. And I remember Saturday night telling my mother-in-law that I was going to watch all 4 hours of the final round while at the cottage because he might be making history. And yes, he did. And yes, I did it. I was in the doghouse, but damn, was it worth it, because it was awesome to see Phil going for it. I kept waiting for him to blow it and let the Koepkas and other players get back into it, but he was steady the whole way and he was able to pull off that win. It was awesome to see.
And it allowed him to qualify for the U.S. Open at his home turf, because shockingly he wasn't in the field. So good story.
Right. Now we'll move away from the sports world and we're going to dive a bit into a look back at our personal golf game, something that we talked quite a bit about on the show this year. So, Mike, my question for you is, what was your best golf moment or memory from 2021?
I think for me, being consistent with my driver this season. So I don't know if I've mentioned this much in the past, but I was not using a driver for years. I would just hit 3-wood off the tee, could keep it, you know, pretty straight, get it out there a fair amount. Last season, summer of 2020, I met with a guy at the course, and he's a club fitter, fit me with a driver, a Tour Edge Exotics, which I didn't know anything about these clubs. Look it up. Apparently, they're popular on the Champions Tour, which is the seniors tour. So that was reassuring. But you know what? I've been able to hit it with, you know, decent distance, keep it straight, which is 90% of the battle with your driver, keeping it straight. So for me, just having a consistent season driving the ball was good. It sets you up, and then you can ruin it other ways. But at least off the tee, I wasn't putting myself, consistently in bad spots.
Yeah. For me, it was my best year of golf I think I've ever played. It sucked that we lost a month at the start of the year, but I had new clubs as well. I was fitted for them. Great investment. I recommend everyone to do it. Got my handicap as low as it's ever been. But for me, the moment was my buddy's championship that we play in every year. We have a season-long tournament. There's about 8 of us. You play with your handicaps. It's about 12 rounds throughout the year that we keep. There's lots of chirping throughout the year in the group chat. We even had a player threaten to leave the tournament due to a rules infraction that he believed was wrong. So it was getting heated, which is so much fun. But we ended up with an 8-person final day, and I was able to claw back and be tied for the lead at the end of 18. We played a sudden death playoff with all of our buddies in carts lining the fairways and greens. It was just brought a different element, lots of beers flowing. And we took it to the second playoff hole where I pulled my drive down the left-hand side, but I had this kind of awkward lie on the side of a bunker, pulled out a 6-iron, put it to about 20 feet, little leg putt, tap in for par to win the championship. It was a great feeling. I mean, it's great to win. I'm still a competitive guy. Golf still gives me that competitive fire that I love. But it's a highlight for not only the golf, but just for being with my buddies and enjoying the game. It's truly what makes golf the best, is being able to still compete and have some fun with your buddies. Now, on the other side of that, Mike, because we're not pros, my question for you is, because it's got to be in your mind, because it's in mind, what was your worst golf shot of 2021?
There were so many to put up for consideration. I couldn't just choose one. It was kind of like the Christmas songs. But for me, I made a switch. I think we mentioned earlier in the show or in previous shows that I switched from a mallet putter to a blade putter. So obviously there's a difference with the weight and the feel. So adjusting to that, and eventually once I got that going a few rounds in, I felt better about it, but I was missing a lot of putts this year. And one thing I'm usually pretty good at is putting, but this season, I think the change kind of threw me off the rails. So I really got to work on that this winter in the basement here, just work on some putting and try and get back on track. So putting was probably my worst part. I missed a lot of opportunities for birdies and then pars, which became bogeys. So that's never fun, and that needs to be corrected.
You got to play the game. It's called snake. The last person to 3-putt holds the snake coin, and whoever's got it at the end of the game pays up. So that'd be a good game to play with you. For me,
oh, yeah. For
my worst shot just sticks out in my head. I was playing my best golf of the year, handicap at all-time low, as I mentioned. I headed down towards the Windsor area. I was playing with my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and then my brother-in-law's father-in-law. So a weird little in-law match. All great guys. But I was clearly the best golfer of the four of us. That's not saying a ton. But they kind of, I guess, could see or know that I was playing well, and I had talked about it. We planned out a match all week long, back and forth, saying who was going to play with who, what the strokes were going to be for each guy, what the cost was going to be to buy into the match. And I was playing great. I was like, I'm gonna break 80, no problem. I'm going to be the star of the day. Had it all going. We get to the first tee. It's right beside the clubhouse. The putting green is also right there. And a big school bus had just dropped off 20 guys who were there for a bachelor party scramble. So they were all hanging around drinking and everyone was kind of watching the first tee. Now, it's a tight little par four dogleg right, which I believed I didn't really need a driver. There was no range, so I didn't want to get too crazy. I'm like, I'm going to hit my hybrid, a nice 220, 230, little, you know, baby fade out to the right towards the right side of the fairway. Give me about 100 yards in, no problem. Don't need the driver whatsoever. So I pull out my hybrid, flip the tee, lands towards me. I'm going off first. And I hit such a chunker, the ball rolled off of the tee, down the right-hand side, and actually hit the tire of my golf cart on the cart path. And I looked like such a dummy having to go back up, pick it up, and hit my mulligan. Luckily, we each got one mulligan. I had to use it on the first tee. So that was the most embarrassing swing of the year for me.
And the crowd erupted into applause as you hit your tire.
Now, hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look ahead at what we see happening for 2022. So stick around. It looks as though the 2022 sports scene is going to have a rough start due to our friend COVID. But we know sports will go on and there will be magical moments. So let's take a look ahead at some predictions Mike and I have for 2022. And we will start with Mike. Who do you believe will win the Rocket Richard Trophy for 2022 for most goals in the NHL?
It's going to be Alex Ovechkin. I know he's currently trailing pre-Christmas here, trailing Leon Draisaitl, but I think Ovechkin's going to get it done. Currently fourth on the all-time list at 752 at the time of this recording. He's going to pass Jágr at some point this season. Jágr's currently at 766, so he'll get into third, and then he can focus on chasing Mr. Hockey Gordie Howe, who's at 801, and then the best to ever do it, Wayne Gretzky, who's at 894. That may take a few more seasons, but for this year, I think Ovechkin will get it done and win the Rocket Richard Trophy.
Yeah, so at the Christmas pause here, you got Draisaitl with 23 and 29 games, Ovi with 22 and 31, and Austin Matthews with 20 in 27 games. And I'm going to take Austin Matthews. His wrist looks better, but he's scoring goals in greasy areas, not just the snapshots from the slot or the power play goals from the sidewall. He's playing with an edge because he's bigger, he's stronger now, and I think he and the Leafs are going to have a massive second half. They have 52 games left. I think he can score an additional 40 in those games to get him to 60. And I think 60 is going to be the magic number to win the Rocket Richard this year. Next one, number 13, the Olympics, the Winter Olympics are coming up very shortly for us. Hopefully, what event at this year's Olympics will steal the show?
For me, it's curling. The 2018 Olympics, men's and women's teams didn't fare too well in the full team events. Neither are the medaling. So I think, as I mentioned, previous shows with our representatives for this year, Brad Gushue and Jennifer Jones, I think we're going to win gold in both men's and women's curling. But, this is obviously Canada's time to shine. The Winter Olympics, 2018, 11 golds, 29 medals in total, finished third in both categories. This is typically where Canada has its most success in comparison to the Summer Games. So, you know, hopefully everything goes off safely without a hitch and our athletes continue to do well for Canada.
Yeah, Winter Olympics usually about hockey, but without the NHL players, not going to be looking like it's going to be hockey this year is the big thing. Men's anyway, the women's will be awesome. We know it's going to be Canada and US on that side. But I'm going to stick with a skating sport that I think is going to steal the show. And I'm going to go with the speed skating. But more in particular, the short track. I think it's such a cool event. It reminds me kind of like a roller derby, because these guys and girls are flying around short little areas, bumping into each other, trying to get a nose ahead and get the little distance. They'll slow it down and try to play it out, tailing each other almost like NASCAR, and then slinging around on the outside. You got all the individual ones. You got the team ones. I love it. I think it's fun to watch. I think that you have Canada, USA, Japan is usually really good at this, China as well. So I think it's going to be real fun to watch. I think it's going to be the funnest event to watch, and I'm hoping it gets a little chippy out there on the ice.
I wonder, like, they go at such high speeds. I wonder what is more dangerous, that or bobsled?
That's tough, because the speed skating, they slide right into those like padded boards on the side, but they got those long blades on their feet. Those got to be dangerous, and they're just wearing like spandex. I get bobsled, they're spandex too. I would say bobsled, because you're flying down that hill. I'd love to see you in some tight spandex just flying down the bobsled or luge maybe for you. I think that would be a great event that our fans would love to see. Maybe next year.
I'll put your name on the list. It currently has one name on it, so...
All right, number 14, very simple one. Simple question. Will the Toronto Raptors make the playoffs?
Yes, they will. You know, 7 to 10 teams now play in the play-in rounds. As of right now, I mean, you have 5 or 6 teams that are within a game of each other between like 6th and 10th. Yeah, they will.
See, now I'm not counting that play-in round as a playoff.
Well, it's a playoff.
It's a play-in round to get to the playoffs, which means they would have to win that one. But it doesn't matter. I don't think they're getting in either way. They currently sit 10th, and the majority of their team is out with COVID protocol. But even with a full team, they're just not good enough to make a run. I know Boston sits at 9th. They're a better team. You know, they're going to bounce up. And I think they're better than the Raptors as well. Spots 6 to 8 are really close. You got Philadelphia, Washington, Charlotte holding on to them now. And the only change I really see is Boston bouncing up. I think even if the Raptors make that play-in game, which will be tough, that they're gonna be able to win it. I think the Raptors are actually going to have a tough go here the next couple of weeks due to the lack of players they're going to have in the roster and on the starting roster, and they're going to start selling off. They're going to realize we need another high pick. This Scotty Barnes is good, but we need to keep building around him, and we're going to see the Raptors fall in the standings. Number 15, will the Maple Leafs win a playoff round?
Yes. I think this team is a very good team, and you know, the past experiences, I mean, you take from those what you will, but you put them behind you, and you know, I think it's a solid group with some solid goaltending, and yes, they will.
I think they will as well. I think it's a great team, but now it's very important for them to win the division. They currently sit 2 points behind Tampa Bay for the lead in the division. And if they could win the division, it would avoid them playing Tampa or Florida, who I believe is a good team as well. And Florida's about to find their groove. Both teams could have hot goalies, Vasilevskiy and, of course, Bobrovsky for Florida. The wildcard teams right now are Pittsburgh and Detroit, but you got Boston, who's next in line. I strongly believe that if the Leafs play anyone in the first round but Tampa Bay, they're going to win the first round. The depth up front is too good. Campbell's learned from last year. He's a true number one. I think they'll make some moves at the deadline to toughen up the bottom half of their forwards and also hopefully to shore up their defense core. So I like the Leafs to make a little bit of a run this spring.
I still don't like the way the playoffs are structured now. I think one should play 8, 2, 7, 3, you know, back the way they used to do it. I get the divisional stuff, but I don't like it.
Time for this. This is for another episode or something else to talk about down the road, but I like 1 to 16. Could be fun. Okay, last one kind of, but I want to go, we're going to go league by league here, the four major sports, and I want to know who you think is going to be the champion in 2022 in each league. And we'll start with the NHL. Give us who's winning the Stanley Cup, Mike.
Vegas Golden Knights. They'll finally get it done.
Like it. I'm actually going to go with the Washington Capitals. I think Ovechkin wants it. He's playing great hockey. Their goaltending's looking strong with Vanek. this could be a team to make some moves at the deadline because they know they got an older bunch and now's the time to go for another one. I like Washington. They're playing great right now. They'll do well in the playoffs. The NFL, who will win the Super Bowl in 2022?
The Green Bay Packers. Currently the top team in the league. You know, hopefully we'll lock up first seed and ensure that the road to the Super Bowl comes through Lambeau again and not make the same mistakes they made in last year's NFC Championship game and get the job done. And then we'll see what happens from there. But right now I think this is a team that is playing consistently probably the best of anyone and without some significant pieces on offense and defense. And if they get a couple of those guys back here for the home stretch and into the playoffs, they're going to be tough to beat. So the Packers.
I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I picked them before the season to win. I'm sticking with it. Their offense is really starting to come together. They got that three-headed monster, QB, wide receiver, running back. And if the three of them are playing well, they'll be tough to stop come playoff time. But it's really actually been their defense that's been the surprise and has played fantastic this season. And I think that if they can get all pistols firing at the same time, they got a chance to make some noise in the postseason. Moving into the NBA and the NBA Finals, who do you like to win the NBA championship this year?
I got to say the Golden State Warriors. You know, off to a great start this season, and, you know, they've done it. They've been there. They've done it. They got the experience. They're a real good team. I think they get back in the finals and win.
I agree. I got Golden State Warriors as well. Steph Curry, he's got something to prove and prove that he can win without the group that he had done with before. It looks like Klay Thompson might be back at some point, but who knows if he's 100% when he even is back. But maybe it's more of a Kucherov deal where he comes back for the playoffs and is just lights out. That'd be a great 1-2 punch. I like them to roll the West and then possibly smoke Brooklyn in the finals, who I think is the only team in the East that could possibly get through too. So I like Golden State Warriors as well. And finally, I'm knocking on wood that this actually happens, but who wins the World Series in 2022?
Going with LA Dodgers. I think they're, you know, they are consistently at the top of the list, and we'll see what happens here. Hopefully there is baseball next season, but if they are, I'm going to say right now the Dodgers.
I'm going with the Blue Jays. I'll say it. Sure. I'll take the Toronto Blue Jays. They got the best offense in baseball. Now they got four solid starting pitchers. Let Ross fill the cabinet with bullpen arms, and this team will win the AL East no problem before beating, let's call it, the New York Mets in the World Series.
Wow. Buck Showalter, the new manager.
Now, Mike, I want to reflect on our year together doing this podcast and get your thoughts on the show. We obviously heard you poking a little fun at me already for one thing on the show, but what was your favorite moment from Just a Bit Outside in 2021?
I don't know if there's any one specific moment that I could pick. I think for us, this is something that we ventured into that we didn't really have the, you know, the skills or the know-how. Not saying we do now, but, you know, we've done it and been able to go through this process and learn about what it takes to do podcasting and everything. And thankfully, I mean, we'll talk about them later. We have a lot of, you know, very talented people that help us out. But I think, you know, the whole reason for doing this and the goal of doing this was, you know, taking those conversations you have with friends, texts, everything like that, and making a show about it and getting feedback from people on a weekly basis saying, hey, you know, listen to the show, love the point about this, didn't agree about this, or, you know, it started conversation amongst people. And that's really what it was, right? It's taking those text groups and talking sports with your buddies and putting it into a show and just getting the feedback that we get, that's what made it all that more enjoyable.
Yeah, I wanted to say our ice cream cake debate. I thought that might have been the the highlight from 2021. But for me, I think it was when I decided and I realized that I was really buying into doing the podcast. I decided I was going to tell the story of my altercation on the golf course. I really hummed and hawed of whether I should bring this up and show that side of me and what happened on the fourth hole at Trafalgar that caused me to lose my mind. I was just worried how I was going to come off and what the reaction would be like, but it turned out to be a relatable story to so many. I had lots of people reach out to me to tell me they loved the story and that they had something similar happen to them on the golf course. It was just an example of what has made this podcast so much fun in sharing my experiences, whether they were related to sports or not. I think it was just a great moment for myself on the show.
Yeah. After hearing that, though, we never golfed together. So
no,
read into that what you will.
A lot of people stopped playing golf with me. But so listen, we told you at the start that there would be announcement at the end of the show that we wanted to bring to you. And thank you guys for listening. And I'm going to leave it to my good friend, Mike Mazzaro, to make the call. Mike, the floor is yours, pal.
Thank you, Stark. First off, we'll get to the meat of it. This is the final show of Jabbo. Things have changed in our lives, I guess. And for me, I'm not going to be able to commit the amount of time that I feel that would be needed to do the show properly. To pull back the curtain, I think a lot of what we do is watching sports and that's certainly not going to change. But in order to do a show properly and make it sound like we know what we're talking about, there is a significant amount of prep work and note-taking. And, you really want to try and put a solid effort into it. And come January, I just don't feel I'm going to have the time to do that. So with that, Jabbo is going to be going on a pause. We'll see how things shake out. I think my co-host may continue in a different capacity, but this iteration of Jabbo and the show, we'll conclude and we'll see what happens down the road. But for now, we're gonna hit pause and we'll see what happens. But before we do that, it's important to thank some people. Without their help, none of this would have been possible. And first off, Dylan Wilson, Greg Fillion, our expert editors who, really make the show sound as good as it does. When we talked about doing this show, Stark and I were kind of discussing, okay, well, we're obviously going to co-host and how are we going to disseminate the roles from there? Stark builds the scripts, as you heard, and is kind of the main anchor host leading the discussion. And then I was going to do the editing and found out what that entails. And I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to do this from a time commitment, but also from an expertise. So to Dylan and Greg, you guys are fantastic. And we certainly appreciate you editing the show, doing everything you do to make Jabbo sound as good as it has. So a massive thank you to them. A huge thank you to a good friend of mine that without him, this show wouldn't have happened. That's Clayton Hansler. Clayton, who obviously runs our network. We talked about this in the spring. It was something that, Stark kind of really was pushing for. And I agreed, I think it was something to do and something fun. And from talking with Clay, it was, simple conversations about what equipment do I need? Like how simple or how difficult is it to start this, but even do it on our end, really on the ground level, not really having any expertise. And Clay told us all the equipment to get and said, if you want to do it, I'll have it on my network. We'll edit it for you guys and everything. And, Clay is a wonderful person, a great friend. And, without him, like I said, this never would have happened. So Clay, a massive heartfelt thank you to you for allowing us on your network and allowing us to do this. Certainly appreciate it. Also to you, Stark. You've been doing the writing thing and working on the podcast, and that's something that you've been pushing for. And you really convinced me to do it. I don't know where I fell in line of candidates for the show. I guess you went through a few names and people rejected you, so you came to me. I'm glad you did, because, you know, I had a lot of fun doing this. We've always kept in touch throughout the years. You've been in the my football pool for, Christ, I don't know, 10 years now. Friends since high school. But it's things like this that help bring people closer together. And talking with you on a weekly basis and planning out the show and, most importantly, through it all, having a laugh and not taking things too seriously, enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. So a massive thank you to you for convincing me and being the driving force behind Jabbo on our side. And finally, to the listeners, I mean, you know, without you, then nobody's listening to the show. And we had some good feedback, some good numbers throughout the way here over the course of, what is it, 28 shows now. And, you know, just even comments, like, heard the show, was great. And then chatting about certain topics, you know, that like I said, that was the point of the show, was taking those group texts that you have with people and making a show about it. And I think it spurred conversation, heard from people we haven't heard from in a long time. And that's always fun. So to everybody who tuned in, even if it was one show for 10 minutes, thank you. We certainly appreciate that. And beyond that, you know, just wish everyone a very happy, healthy, successful new year. You know, get vaxxed, get boosted. Let's get through this crap. I think we've all had enough of it, and we'll be better for it, hopefully. So that's awesome. It for me. Thanks, Mike, Stark.
Honestly, yeah, it's bittersweet. Obviously, I had such a great time doing this with you. You were the number one choice with your sports knowledge. I think that it's fun to talk about sports. That's what I enjoy doing, and I do it no matter what. So to do it in this format was a blast. I think we figured out the perfect format for us and what works for us. And I think the listeners enjoyed it. I got lots of great feedback from people listening, which is the best part, because then we knew that people were engaging with us and they liked the show. So yeah, I still want to be doing sports podcasting. I think that there's some sort of avenue for me to do it, in which capacity I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm still working out some things, but gonna take the holidays to figure it out. So if you got some ideas, or you think you could step in for Mike's shoes, big shoes to fill, reach out. I want to hear from some of you and see if there's any other way to do it. But Mike, the door is always open for you to come back whenever you want. I'd love to work with you again.
Now, you say big shoes. Weight has nothing to do with shoes.
I didn't say come big on. Britches. I said big shoes. But
fair
you
enough.
Know what? Same thank yous to everyone to helping us get this up and running. Couldn't have done it without you. Mike and I just talking to mics, and somehow it spits out onto people's phones, which is great. So love doing it. Love talking sports. It's the one passion I have, and I say to everyone out there during these tough times with everything going on, find something you love doing and do it, because it'll take away the stress of everything else out there in the world, and for me, that's sports and talking sports. So as we always do, finish off, thanks for listening, everyone, and clear eyes,
full hearts,
can't lose.